Ladies and gentlemen, good evening and welcome to the Pfizer first quarter ended 2015-16 financial results analyst teleconference. We have with us today Mr. Ejaz Tobakowala, Managing Director, and Mr. Ravi Prakash, Director of Finance. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions at the end of today's presentation. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone telephone. At this time, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Ejaz Tobakowala. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much, and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the call. Glad you could join us. This is our unaudited June quarter results call for Pfizer Limited. And I have with me Ravi Prakash, our new finance director. I hope by now you've seen our published results. April-June 2015 financial results are comparable to the same period last year as, one, the figures reported for the previous year quarter ended June 30, 2014, are after giving effect to the scheme of amalgamation between Wyeth and Pfizer. And the second part is that we do not have significant income from the transition support to Zoetis. Let me give you a summary of the results for the quarter. Revenue for the first quarter 15-16 was 479 crores, reflecting a growth of 11% over the same period last year. This performance reflects a good start to our 2015-16 year. Profit before tax for the quarter versus the same period last year increased by 17%, driven primarily by improved results. And EBITDA for the quarter is at 23.1%, in line with the estimates that we have provided you prior. Talking a little bit about the business performance, this quarter's revenue performance has been driven by good performance of most of our key brands like Prevnar, Corex, Picosol, Jellysil, and Magnex. Prevnar has continued its prior period momentum. Picosol has turned in a strong performance and continues to lead in the vitamin B plus. B-complex category, and Corex has benefited primarily from a weak comparative versus prior year sales. As you all will remember, that around this period last year is when the Schedule H1 was introduced, and it had a significant impact on the product and in the marketplace. Visolone and oral contraceptive performance was impacted by production shortfall at the Goa plant, and I will provide you with more updates on the Goa plant later in the call. Let me give you an update on the industry and some key internal and external developments that are impacting our business. Along with Ravi, we will explain the performance of the company for the first quarter. Let's talk about the results, or let's talk about the industry through the IMS lens. The India pharmaceutical market growth for MAT June 15 is at 13.8% as per IMS. Industry size is at 94,338 crores. As of June 2015. The industry growth, the good news is that it's been at the highest it has been in the last 3 years. Indian companies are growing at about 15%, whereas the MNCs are growing at about 10% as per IMS. And according to them, Pfizer Limited growth is at 11%, indicating that we have been growing faster than our MNC peers. From a therapeutic area perspective, most TAs are growing over 10%, with Pfizer outperforming the market in the anti-infective TA, where Pfizer's growth is at 12.4 versus the IPM growth at 9.1. Vaccines, remember this is IMS data, Pfizer's growth at 63.2 versus the IPM of 16%, and hormones, where Pfizer's growth is pegged at 20.2 versus the IPM growth at 16.2. Let me update you on a couple of other developments. The Thane plant. The company has intimidated the concerned authorities that it intends to effect closure of the Thane plant with effect from September 16, 2015. The decision to close the plant is based on an assessment of its long-term viability and its ability to achieve the needed production. There has been, as you will recall, practically no production at this plant since 2013. The closure will not impact the supply of any of the company's medicines to our patients or to the market. With respect to the Goa plant, as we had communicated with you earlier, There has been temporary impact on production at Goa due to a matter of conciliation between the workers' union and the management. While the Goa plant continues to produce at a limited capacity, we have already initiated additional alternate manufacturing arrangements to achieve the required supplies. We continue to work with the appropriate authorities and workers and hope to have Goa at full production soon, as it remains a key part of our network. On the NLEM revision, as you may have read, the core committee has concluded its nationwide consultations on the NLEM revision. Pfizer Limited has been actively participating in these national consultations and has submitted its own specific recommendations to the committee. And Pfizer Limited has also contributed to the recommendations made by OPPI, the Organization of Pharmaceutical Producers of India, towards the committee. Pfizer continues to advocate that essentiality should be the key focus of the committee and not simply looking at pricing. The revised NLEM is now expected to be notified in the month of August 2015, as has been indicated to us. However, the timing and the scale of the revision still remain uncertain from our perspective. As you are aware, all products included in the NLEM list are automatically brought under price control. This will continue to pose a risk not only to us, but also to the rest of the industry. Let me now hand over to Ravi Prakash to brief you on the first quarter unaudited financial results for Pfizer. Ravi? Yeah.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Jazz, and good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to our first quarter unaudited results call. I'll start, as Jazz has already mentioned, the results of this quarter are comparable to the same period last year. I'd like to emphasize once again, as the scheme of amalgamation has been reflected in both numbers. On an overall basis, revenue has grown 11%, which has been the prime driver for the growth in profit before tax by 17%. Let me now take you through the results line by line. Revenue. Jazz has already mentioned the key drivers of our revenue performance. Most of our key brands, whether Prevnar, Bicosil, Jellicil, have turned in a pretty strong performance, and that has been the driver of the 11% growth. Corex has benefited this quarter because of a weak comparator versus last year same quarter, but net-net, it's been a pretty good quarter in terms of revenues. And the revenue is the one which, if I go down the profit and loss statement, which is driving both the profit from operations as well as the 17% growth in profit before tax. Going line by line, in the other operating income line, there is an increase in other operating income line from 4 crore in Q1 of 14-15 to Q1 this year to about 5 crore. This is primarily due to additional recovery of support provided by Pfizer Limited to its affiliates. Material cost and consequently the impact on margins. Current quarter material cost is coming at about 39.8% of sales versus 40.3% in the comparable quarter last year. We've gained about 50 basis points on gross margin as a result. However, there's no significant difference otherwise between both quarters. Employee benefit expense, you will see an increase from 60 crores to 66 crores when you compare current year quarter versus prior year quarter. The 6 crore difference is driven mainly by the annual increments and certain actuarial valuation changes which have happened. If you go down to other expenses, they increased from 102 crores last year to 116 in the current quarter. These are two factors driving this change. One is we have higher advertising and promotional spends, which are supporting the 11% revenue growth. And then, as mentioned in our earlier calls, the new office rentals are impacting the other expenses as well. If you go down to other income, other income has moved to about 13 crores from the 10 crores that we had in the same period last year. This is other income primarily reflects interest income from bank deposits, and this is driven by higher bank deposits that we've had. The increase in interest income has been partly offset by lower rental income, about 2 crores, because we had the animal health division, which was giving us certain rental income last year. We don't have that this year. So as a result of all this, EBITDA gets to about 23.1%, which is in line with the numbers that we had discussed with you earlier. So in conclusion, the effective tax rate of the company, it has improved to 44.7% versus the 57.8% in last quarter. I do want to make two comments on the effective tax rate. One, the tax rate in general looks high because we've got the amortization of the intangibles and goodwill, which was created as part of the Wyeth merger, on which on a conservative basis, we are not taking any tax credit when we report the numbers. The change versus last year is primarily driven by merger-related expenses which we had last year, which we don't have anymore this year. So to summarize, again, 11% revenue, 17% profit growth. That's what's driving the net profit growth of about 43%. That kind of concludes my summary discussion of the financials. We'd be happy to take any questions that you might have.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Thank you. First question is from the line of Dheeresh Pathak from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you for the opportunity. Can you give me the percentage of revenue now under NLEM as of now?
Dheeresh, thank you for the question. Approximately 17% of our revenue is under price control as per NLEM.
Okay. And can you just call out, the top brands and their respective share in the revenue, just the top three, four brands?
I think the top three, four brands have been Prevnar. That's okay.
Hey, Ravi, let me get that. Dheeraj, our top brands are basically Prevnar, Corex, and Bigosul, of which none of these remain in under NLEM at the moment.
Okay. And, for vaccines, is the understanding correct that, some of the vaccines are under that universal, program, and then the others in the private market, they don't come under price control? So, for example, if Prevnar were to be included in the universal immunization program, then in the private market, it would still remain out of price control, right?
You're correct in your statement that Prevnar is currently not in the National Immunization Program. I am not absolutely clear as to what the pricing model remains when you have a product that is under the national program versus the private market. We would have to get back to you on that one.
Okay. So, and can you just give me the revenue share of these three individuals, Prevnar, Corex, and Bigosul?
So, Prevnar this quarter is about 15% of our revenue. Bicosils is approximately 11%. Bicosils is about 8.6% and Corex is about 11%.
And for the full year also, these numbers would roughly remain the same, right? For example, FY15, these numbers would be pretty much in this range itself.
Approximately,
right?
Would remain the same.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's a reminder to all the participants, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star and one at this time. Next question is from the line of Ranjit Kapadia from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Hearty congratulations for the set of numbers. My question relates to personal expenses, which has gone on quarter-on-quarter from 47 crore to 66 crore. So if you can throw some light on that. And second thing, other expenses have increased by almost 14% on year-on-year basis. What are the main components of this?
Ranjit, thank you for the question. Let me answer the second one first. The other expenses have increased because of two reasons. One is we've had higher advertising and promotion expenses this year. And the second component is that we are having the rental of the new office, which wasn't there in the same period last year. Those are the two main components.
And can you quantify how much is the rental per quarter approximately?
Yeah, it's six, per quarter is about 6 crores, Ranjit.
Okay, 60 million.
Yeah.
And also regarding the personal expenses.
Yeah. So, Ranjit, on personal expenses, you're talking about the sequential quarter, right?
Yeah, sequential quarter.
Yeah. So, in the sequential quarter, there have been some accrual reversals in the prior quarter, which has depressed the employee expense.
Okay.
So that's the reason you see a lower number in the prior quarter. This quarter numbers are closer to the run rate that we would normally have.
And can you quantify how much of the reversal in the fourth quarter?
I think this would be in the range of about 10 crores, Ranjit.
Okay. And regarding the tax rate, you said two things. One is, I could not get the second one. One is high amortization of white assets. And what was the second thing?
So on the tax rate, I'll just repeat my comment. In general, the tax rate looks very high because the amortization of the WIAT and intangibles and goodwill, we are not accounting for any credit while we make our tax provision. So that's the reason that number looks very high. Compared to last year, the rate actually has come down, the effective tax rate has come down because last year we had higher merger related expenses.
Okay. And regarding the top line growth and the margins, how confident are you to maintain this?
Ranjit, the challenge will always be the separation between that you see in the marketplace, the separation between the growth of the market versus what you're seeing between MNCs and the Indian companies. I think if things go to plan, you know, we should be able to maintain our guidance. Of course, that is completely dependent on what happens with the NLEM.
So our guidance is about 23-24% EBITDA margin.
That's correct.
Okay.
It's in the, yeah.
Okay, wish you all the very best. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. Next question is from the line of Amit Hiramat from BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. So you mentioned that 17% of our sales is under NLEM price control as of now. Is it possible to give information regarding which brands are as of now falling under this price control?
There are various products which are sorted across, ranging from contraceptives to fold whites to some part of one SKU, Amlavar, etc. So it's varied.
If you can mention top three, if it is fine with you.
The biggest will be the fold white.
Okay.
And second would be the oral contraceptive or overall.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Sir, since you have been a part of this overall development regarding the addition of the possible revision of the NLEM, which will be probably declared in August, what is your sense that would there be a significant expansion to the current list? And if it happens, how it is going to affect the industry and in particular you?
I wish I had a crystal ball that could tell me what that answer was, Amit, to be honest with you. I think the opinion, if you're depending on who you talk to, ranges from a minimal impact to the entire industry being put under price control. So, unfortunately, I don't have a sense of what the answer will be. And it's only when it comes out will we really get a sense of how big an impact it is. I mean, let me take the opportunity, though, to sort of reemphasize that the idea of the national list of essential medicines came out recently. And essentiality, you know, doesn't change on a yearly basis. The essentiality should not be used as a way for price control. If you guys have seen the news recently, China has actually abandoned its price control model and is letting market forces decide what the pricing should be, because it believes that that is the best way to make sure that that product pricing remains where it should be. And because it was also starting to find that essential whatever was coming under those price controls at some stage was becoming so unprofitable or so difficult for the manufacturers to continue producing that they were moving away from those products. And so it's a core question, right, that I think everybody needs to take a look at, is India remains the lowest priced market for products anywhere in the world. And really, is there a benefit that comes out of continuing to put this pressure on the industry on a month to month, week to week, year to year basis, which creates a significant uncertainty around the marketplace?
Okay. Thanks for that. One more question. We have seen revival in the sales of Corex just because of the low base effect. But we had been facing some problems in some of the North Indian states on account of some regulatory issues. Are they resolved or are they still continue to be there?
No, they remain in place, Amit. The Corex one remains a state-by-state challenge. It hasn't been resolved. So if you were to look at it on a sequential quarter basis, our Corex sales would be lower compared to the same period, compared to the prior quarter. And that is a function of the continued pressure on that entire space. And by the way, it's not just on that one. It's also on a lot of other products that have come under the H1 schedule, because there is a concern within the marketplace in stocking these products. And hey, Amit, while I have you on the line, since you brought up the point associated with NLEM and pricing, there was a recent IMS study that was released, I believe, about a couple of weeks ago that you may want to take a look at. If you search it, you can find it.
Sure.
Or links to it available that may give you a good sense of how effective these price controls are when it comes to access, which is really what we are talking about over here.
Sure, that will be very helpful, sir. Just one more question. So when we are talking about the Corex, you mentioned that the problem persists, but do we see any resolution in the immediate future, or is it going to persist for the long term?
I don't think there's anything I see in the immediate future. I certainly hope that it does get resolved in the longer run, because it remains a key product for patients, and it is something that doctors believe in as something that helps, and to not make it available within the marketplace is really not serving the needs of the patient.
Sure. And just last question, I just want to know whether is there any seasonality associated with the sales of Pfizer on quarterly basis? One quarter could be, say, for example, on sequential basis, the EBITDA margin has come down by around 300 basis points. So want to know if any seasonality is associated with the current quarter?
There is always seasonality associated with our portfolio, given either the anti-infective space or the respiratory space. So certainly there is seasonality within our portfolio.
But on holistic basis, you are confident that you should be able to see the improvement in EBITDA margin on a yearly basis?
The EBITDA margin, Amit, like we said, should hover around this number that what we reported for this current quarter.
Okay. But in the long term, we should be able to see around 25%.
I don't want to take any guesses at this moment, but I said we are comfortable in the range that you see right now.
Okay. Thanks a lot for your questions.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Aishwarya Agarwal from Reliance Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. Just want to know how we should look at the NLEM basket of product, which is 17% of revenue. What kind of volume growth as well as price hike we should see? Say for FY16 or FY17, what kind of growth should consider? The same also I want to know about the non-NLEM product, which is your 83% of revenue, price and the volume growth.
Ashwara, thanks for the question. I think what we saw, at least in the marketplace, is when the NLEM model was announced, the larger brands that got impacted significantly by price were able to gain significant market share through volume increase, right, as their products in essence became quote-unquote more affordable. Well, what they became was actually just lower in price. This came from a function of taking away market from the products that were probably priced in the new band that our products came into. It did not necessarily result in an increase in the overall market share of these products compared to their competitors, whether they be other molecules competing in the same space or combinations competing in the same space. So while we saw an initial spike, we are certainly seeing a return to the more normal growth rates that these products had prior to the NLEM. And I think that's where the crux of the bump and then sort of the adjustment to the marketplace comes in, and which goes back to the point I was making to Amit, is at the end of the day, have you really increased access if the share of these molecules that came under NLEM has really not increased significantly in terms of overall market share? The remainder of the portfolio, the non-NLEM side of the portfolio, continues to grow at the pace that we have seen in the past.
Can you give some idea on the price hike probably you would have taken on the NLEM product, or there is no price hike because of negative WPI?
The NLEM pricing is based on WPI in the past year, so we've been able to get some price increase this year, but next year, then we don't know what it'll look like. If the current trend holds, mm-hmm. in all likelihood, we may not be able to get a price increase. Because year to date, like you rightly point out, it's negative.
And non-NLEM products, are we taking any price hikes or not?
We are. We have tried to maximize the price that was available. So they are many of the products we've hit about 10% price increase.
So if I do the math and use 10% price hike on 83% of the menu.
No, it's not for all, wherever we can. For example, some of the products are already at premium pricing. We will not touch it. Where the competitive intensity permits us to take a price increase, we take only in those places. So it's not 83%.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll go back. Ashwin, to the point. It's a highly, highly competitive marketplace. Mm-hmm. You cannot. It's just not one that allows you to sort of wander off on your own. And if you have a host of products that are priced within very close to you, or you're already at premium pricing, you can't just take that price increase and expect it to continue to work. So while it may be available, that doesn't mean that it is always something that can be taken.
Sure. So effectively, we should presume that some 5-7% kind of both price hike as well as volume growth is what best is happening with us, which is leading to 11-12% kind of growth.
It would depend on what combinations we would land up taking, actually. I don't think I could speculate on that going forward.
Coming to this Prevnar and the Corex and the Bicasol, for these three brands, which are 35% of our revenue, how we should see these products' growth going forward in terms of top line, if not in volume and pricing?
Well, I think what we've indicated to you earlier, Prevnar, I think, continues to do well in the marketplace, and we expect the growth could sustain. Again, it's all dependent on the competition within the marketplace, certainly. Bicosul is a very, very mature product, as you're well aware. And a lot of that is dependent, again, on not just Bicosul, but with our line extensions that we have put into place, sort of how the combination works out going forward, which is obviously our go-forward model. Corex, as we've indicated earlier, given some of the challenges in many of the states, is dependent on what may happen with those particular markets. If those markets improve, certainly the product continues to have great opportunity.
Thank you, sir. And the last two things, how we should look at the CapEx and how will be our dividend policies, any guidance?
Our dividend policy continues to be what it has been in the past, which is conservative. We will continue to evaluate options for what we do with the cash.
And the CapEx side,
sir? We don't see any major normal plant-related CapEx and some maybe for the office, but other than that, nothing major.
Sure. Sure, sir. That's very helpful. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ashwara.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Nitin Agarwal from IDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi. Just a couple of things. One is, if you can probably share in terms of, how do you look at new product launches over the next couple of years?
Sure. So as we've articulated, our approach on new product launches has been to take a look at some of our big brands that already have great equity in the market and build line extensions around them. So with Bicosols, we have already launched two, and we're continuing to evaluate a few more within that range. Similarly with Jellysil and with Corex.
So basically the strategy for us is going to be around line extensions going forward. And how does the branded generics and new product launches from the stable parent stable, how do we look at those?
Sure. I mean, Nitin, you've got to remember that two parts, I guess, to it, right? It's not just restricted, certainly, to the line extensions. As it were necessary, if there is a product or a combination that makes sense to us, both from a marketplace and from a medical standpoint, certainly we would look at those opportunities. You've seen us launch Dolonex Rapid as an example last year. So it's not just restricted to these three in line extensions, but certainly our approach is to take a look at our larger brands and build products around them so we can create some groups. In terms of what we get from the parent, in terms of generic side of it from the parents, I mean, in India, as you're well aware, almost every product is available. So it's not like it's a marketplace that is begging for new generic products, so to speak, on its own. Certainly where we have an opportunity from our parent company on a good larger brand, if it's not available in India and has the marketplace for it, we certainly would take that on.
Thanks. And secondly, on you mentioned about the disruptions in Goa. I mean, any sense on how much of an impact would it have had on your revenues for the year, for the quarter? If it's relevant?
See, Goa, we've moved quickly to put in place contingency plans. And the expectation is that as we move forward, there should not be a big impact in the remaining three quarters. So that's where we are on Goa.
But not too much of an impact even in the current quarter?
There has been a minor impact. There has been an impact this quarter. But then, like I said, going forward, we don't see that impacting us majorly.
Okay. And lastly, on the Thane facility, once the production is shut down, what are the plans for the facility? And if you can throw some light in terms of what do we intend to use with that location, with that site? Is it our site, is it a freehold site, or is it like a lease site for us?
It's not our freehold site. We have a lease on it, on which we have about 45 years remaining on that lease. Our thought process on that one remains, of course, is after that we will look at all options in terms of what we do with the site.
And what is the area of the site?
It's about 70 acres.
70 acres. Okay. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Participants, if you have a question, please press star and 1 on your touchtone telephone. Next question is from the line of Lakshmi Narayanan from Catamaran. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my question. I just want to understand how large is your OTC portfolio as a percentage of revenue?
Only Anfrange. I think there's only one Anfrange. There's only one product really Anfrange. Other than that,
Jellysil is also.
Yes, that's the other one. Other than that, so these are the only two brands really.
And how large is Jelusil and Anfranch put together?
Yeah. But Jelusil is still prescribed by the doctors. We still promote to doctors. It's not completely OTC. So it's only Anfranch which is completely OTC, which is negligible sales. Otherwise, Jelusil is both RX and OTC.
And Jelusil is among your top five products?
Yes, it is.
Okay. And how large is your women's portfolio?
Approximately 300 crores.
Okay. And if you look at Magnex, right, which is your the anti-infectives, is it, for example, drugs like Magnex, Ativan, Pacitane, Dolonex, are these in the NLM?
Magnex is, NLM you're asking for?
Yeah.
Magnex is not an NLM.
Mm-hmm.
Then what else you said?
Ativan, Pacitane, Dolonex.
Pacitane, yes, it is an NLM. Dolonex is not an NLM. Ativan is not an NLM.
Okay. And among, if you look at Prevnar, Corex and Bicosil, right, what kind of market share each would have in terms of, if there are alternatives? I don't know if Prevnar has any alternatives in the market, but in general, what is the market share of your top three brands?
So Prevnar, if I look at the value market share, is about 58% mm-hmm. on a moving annual total basis as per IMS.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Which were the other brands you were asking for?
Corex and Bicosil?
So Corex is about 44 and Bicosil is about 53.
And Jelusil?
Jelusil is about 31.
Okay. In the CNS thing, where you have Dolonex, right? What is the market growth you are seeing and for the category and what kind of pricing improvement you think you can get there?
Dolonex is not in the CNS portfolio. Dolonex is actually within the pain portfolio.
Okay.
CNS overall has slowed down with the introduction of Schedule H1. But the pain category continues to do, overall, the therapeutic area continues to do reasonably well.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dheeresh Pathak from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the follow-up. The YS-related goodwill amortization is for the full year is about 120 crores, right?
About 108 crores.
108 crores. Okay. And why are we not taking, tax benefits on this?
It's a litigative subject. There's no clear policy on it. So, therefore, it's not very clear at this juncture.
Okay. And does the same apply, had you classified it as intangibles? You've classified it as goodwill or you've classified it as, technical know-how intangibles?
Whatever can go as intangibles have gone as intangibles.
Okay. And can you just explain the land, Thane land, the leasehold element, if you can sublease it and then, what are the restrictions that it is, if it is not a freehold land, on how you can monetize it?
We can sublease it and we already subleased part of the land to a company called Soitus. So that is subject to obviously MIDC approval. They do permit to sublease it. That's one. It's predominantly for industrial use. It's not for residential use. It's probably commercial industrial use. That's a restriction there.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, that was the last question. I would now like to hand over the floor back to Mr. Jayasth Bhagwala for his concluding remarks. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much, and ladies and gentlemen, thank you as always for joining us. Let me conclude by saying that our first quarter performance certainly has started us off on a positive note, with our key brand showing momentum and profitability coming in line with estimates. Our goal, of course, is to continue that momentum, keeping in mind certainly some of the external environment constraints, right? So while on one hand, The overall India pharma market growth is being sustained. The regulatory uncertainty, especially around pricing, continues to be a significant risk. And this risk, I'll reiterate, is not just about what the pricing may do, but the risk is also associated with the ongoing uncertainty in the marketplace when you're not sure what will come up next. And navigating that certainly is going to be key to our performance. I'd also like to end on a slightly personal note. As many of you may be aware, I have been offered a new global role with Pfizer Inc. Back in the U.S., which I have accepted. I'm going to continue in my current role until a successor is appointed by our board of directors of Pfizer Limited, but I want to place on record my appreciation for the continued support and trust all of you have shown in Pfizer Limited. I have certainly more than enjoyed my interaction with all of you, and I'd just like to say a very personal thank you to all of you for all your support over the years. So with that, we shall conclude the call. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we now conclude the Pfizer first quarter ended 2015-16 financial results analyst teleconference. Thank you for using Chorus Call Conferencing Services. You may now disconnect your lines.